97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stazak in the house. 2 hours down, two to go. Wow, we are at halftime. Like I mentioned earlier, 80% of the teams leading at halftime in the NFL go on to win the football game. I think they need to throw the ball in the first half. I think they just overall need to sling it a little bit more. They're not going to be able to run all over teams like they did against the Bills and they did against the Packers. And you'll notice when the run game's not working early, they'll get away from it quickly. You know, I say this all the time. They didn't pound the ball last week to be successful. They were successful, so they pounded the ball. If they weren't successful with it, they would have gotten away from it to a degree. I know the weather was terrible. It was hard to throw into 25-mile-per-hour winds. But as a rule, yeah, they pound the ball when they're successful. They're not successful by pounding the ball, if that makes sense. And Doug Peterson, again, you'll notice when they do have a lot of success at it, you'll look and say, well, they pounded the ball. No, they pounded the ball because they had success, not the other way around. They will abandon that running game so quickly in decent weather conditions. But I still think Carson Wentz needs to be unleashed. Let him be Carson. Let him do what he does well. Let him scramble. Let him run for first downs. Move him out of the pocket. Bootleg him once in a while. I'm not worried about him getting hurt anymore. You know, maybe those things were isolated incidents, although there were four of them. And by definition, being injury prone means getting injured a lot. So technically, by definition, he's injury prone, but I'm not so sure those weren't, you know, isolated incidents, unfortunate incidents. But I'm not worried. I've seen him take a lot of hits so far. He's been fine. No problems with his knees or his back, at least none that we know of. So I would let him be him. Don't force him to throw the ball in the pocket. He's oftentimes more successful on the run, whether he's rolling right or rolling left. Primarily rolling right, it's easier to throw. Instead, you're throwing across your body if you run left. And if it's not there, take it off. He's got some good wheels. And Marcus Hayes is right. You know, any defender, including the defensive tackle, should be able to run him down. You know, he's a big white guy from North Dakota. All right, he's not the fastest guy in the world. Should be able to get run down. But if you see him turn the edge on some of these guys, he'll get his yards, he'll move the chains. He did it last week twice. Maybe he throws that ball under normal conditions. Ran for the first down twice, didn't see anything, didn't force anything, didn't throw the ball out of bounds, didn't throw it into the ground, didn't throw an interception. Made a split-second decision and booked twice. 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 12 to get first downs for the Eagles. One of them was that was the same drive actually that resulted in the Jordan Howard touchdown. Who, by the way, if we're looking at, you know, we're halfway through the season. If you want to do a halftime report card, to me, the offensive MVP this year so far has been Jordan Howard. Got 6 touchdowns for a guy who didn't play early in the season for reasons unknown. I was so pumped the day they got Jordan Howard. I said, oh, they fixed the running game with one move. Jordan Howard's a stud. I have no idea why he fell out of favor in Chicago. And people say, well, his numbers were declining. Are you that stupid? Really? His numbers were declining? Yeah, they went down a little bit each year. Of course, he had a high bar to start from, 1,300 yards plus in his first year. He went down to, 1,100 and then just under 1,000. His skills didn't diminish. He's 24 years old. 24 touchdowns in 3 years with the Bears. That's 8 per year. He's already got 6 here. One was through the air in the Green Bay game. He's got 6 touchdowns already halfway through the season. And he's been effective every time he's run the ball. I mean, to an extent. He's been effective. I can't for the life of me understand why they didn't run him the ball, give him the ball early in the season, and they tried to force-feed Miles Sanders on us, who I still don't believe is the franchise running back going forward. He busted a nice 65-yard clip last week. Of course, who made the key block? Jordan Howard. And he can outrun guys because he's fast, and he sees a hole like that. But I don't think from play-by-play situation, we've seen him be effective running the football. We haven't. And to give Jordan Howard the ball 23 times last game and Miles Sanders only the ball 3 times, maybe that number has to climb a little bit, but that ratio to me is fine. I don't mind Jordan Howard having a workload like that. He should. He's your horse. Miles Sanders hasn't done anything on the ground except for that one run. He's caught some nice balls, finds himself open out of the backfield, but hasn't established himself as a quality NFL running back. And usually you can tell early on in the guy's career if he has it or he doesn't have it. Usually a good running back, like Kareem Hunt, he busted up the Eagles in his second game in the league. And his first game was productive. Third game was productive. You could tell early on he was going to acclimate himself very well to the NFL. Some reason some guys don't. Some reason guys in college that were very effective and stud running backs don't for whatever reason. And I haven't seen that out of Miles Sanders so far. Sands the one run last week for 65 yards. Great run. Not taking anything away from him. Somehow finds his way open and picks up big chunks of yards through the air, but that's not why he was brought here. It's not why he was brought here. He's brought here to be the future running back, and they force-fed him on us for the first couple games. And Jordan Howard hardly got any carries. Finally, they've seen the light. This guy is your stud running back, and I hope they re-sign him. And he should be a running back going forward. He's only in his fourth year. And what does he have so far this year? He's run the ball 100 times for 443 yards. So he's on pace for a 900-yard season. He averages 4.4 yards per carry. 5 touchdowns on the ground. 1 through the air. That's pretty impressive. He's my MVP of the offense so far this year. Defensively? Your guess is as good as mine defensively. I guess, and I criticize this guy often, I guess Brandon Graham. He's made some plays. I need to see playmakers on defense. They don't have a lot of playmakers on defense. They just don't. Of Ron Darby, Andrew Zendejo when he was here, Sidney Jones, Jalen Mills, they have... of those 4 defensive backs, 4 interceptions. That's not going to do it. That's not what playmakers do. Jordan Hicks was a playmaker. Always around the football. Always wreaking havoc. Forcing fumbles. Recovering fumbles. Putting Tony Romo out for the year. Playmakers. They don't have that on defense. So I guess I would give it to Brandon Graham. Had a nice game last week. 6 tackles, 1 sack. And he's been, and which game was it where he caused, was it last week? Strip sack? Was that it? Caused the fumble? He's done that a couple times this year. And he's good at that. Of course, one of the greatest plays in Eagles history was when he strip sacked Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Derek Barnett fell on it. And they kick a field goal to go up 8. Jake Elliott nails a field goal to go up 8. He missed one earlier in the game. That was a crucial kick. People don't talk about that. I felt much better with the Patriots having the ball with a minute left up 8 than I would have up 5. It turned out they didn't have a lot of time left and probably still would have won the game with the Eagles have. But it would have been a little more nerve-wracking, wouldn't you say? 8 versus 5. So again, Brandon Graham, I guess, by default, none of the linebackers, none of the cornerbacks, none of the safeties, although Malcolm Jenkins still leads the team in tackles. Rodney McLeod is second. Malcolm Jenkins always leads the team in tackles. He still can play. I know his skills may be declining a little, but he can still play. So those are my MVPs. Jordan Howard, Brandon Graham. What say you at the halfway point? Who's your MVP of the offense? Who's your MVP of the defense and why? 610-632-0975. Let's go to Linda, my girl in Mayfair. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, honey?
Looking out my window at little golf carts. It's hysterical, Joe. The Ballard Country Club runs right through our front lawn.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Cute. Anyway, I'm always tempted to walk by and yell four while they're ready to take
right,
off,
ready to
but
swing.
I don't do. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I have a different opinion, just opinion. I like the running game of generally on any football team. It's so exciting. You know what I keep thinking of? Bo Jackson. My God, was he something.
Oh, he was unbelievable.
He just, I close my eyes, I see him.
As a two-way athlete,
you know,
my goodness.
Marcus Dupree. Remember him,
very
Joe?
Good. That's very good. Yeah, of course I remember Marcus Dupree. You're going way back.
Yeah, I have those ESPN, and they're very good, honey. Those 30 for 30s.
Tremendous.
And they have excellent. And they had the greatest who never was, and poor guy. But boy, was he something! And I still love Bo. He's still my favorite player of all time, Bo Jackson.
He was unbelievable. I saw him throw a guy out at the plate from the wall.
Oh yeah! Remember when he used to climb the wall?
When he used to climb the wall. He broke a bat over his knee once. I mean, it's a shame he had that hip problem. In that, I think it was it the Raiders game?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was something.
He was something.
I digress. I like the running game. It's just so fun to me.
Well, they've been successful at it in a couple games, and those games they won. They won on the road in Buffalo and won on the road in Green Bay. Those were the two most effective games on the ground.
It's just odd to me that with all the coaches they have, and they have too many coaches, I think, honey, sometimes, they would temper the game plan to everybody's best efforts. In other words, their talents. I mean, I don't like seeing him in the pocket, Wentz. I would rather he ran his little feet once in a while.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. Yeah, get him out of the pocket.
And the other thing I wanted to say, of course, this is my favorite day, Saturday, because of college football.
What are you watching today? You going to watch Georgia, Florida?
Well, you know, I don't have a TV. I was jagging us. Well, you know, honey, I had basic... too.
Good for you.
But I'm getting excited about my Phillies. I love Girardi.
Yeah, I
wanted
too.
Him from the beginning. I love Price. And now we got to get a good hitting coach, honey. And I'll say goodbye. I love you and take care.
You too, Linda. Love you too. Appreciate the call. Got to get her a TV. We got to hook her up. By the way, we are broadcasting live from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. So, yeah, those words, those critical words. I was just kidding. Linda's great. Imagine that. That's old school. Sitting by your radio, listening to football games. That is old school. I used to do that with my transistor when I was young, when the Phillies were on the road or weren't televised. It's not like today. I don't know. You know, kids today have all the luxuries. They weren't televised every game. There were blackouts when the Eagles were at home at times. So you're listening on your radio. But I used to have to take that transistor to bed with me, and I'd have to go to bed early, but I'd be listening to the game. I took a personal day once when I was in fourth grade so I could listen to the afternoon game. They were in Chicago. That was the 23-22 game. Where Randy Lurch hit a couple home runs. Schmidt had three. That was the highest scoring game in history. 24-23, or it was 23-22, actually. Phillies won the game in extra innings. Great stuff. Great stuff by Linda. All right, let's hit Rupert in Royersford. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rupert?
Hey, Joe. want to start off by saying I do like the show, and Linda's completely correct. Comcast is a 100% a ripoff. With that being said, I think you're overreacting very, very drastically with the Joel Embiid situation. Number one, you know, I didn't really hear anything when Jason Kelce dropping multiple F-bombs during the Eagles parade, or Chase Utley. You're saying Joel's not a good example.
Oh, Chase Utley was criticized for that.
Why are you saying like he's bad for the superstar, you know, and LeBron James getting drunk on the sideline, drinking wine every day. I mean, come on.
Like, but Embiid does it often, you know. Utley doesn't say boo, and he said it once. And who else were you talking about?
Kelce.
Yeah, it was at the parade. I understand it was televised live. I would have rather him not said those things. But again, it was, he gets a pass because both were said at parades.
When we're talking about setting an example,
I understand.
I don't think there's really.
I understand. You can get your point across without dropping F bombs. I agree.
I don't necessarily disagree, but like I said, you know, they're doing it as well. So, you know, he shouldn't be criticized. In addition to that, you have over tens of thousands of people chanting the loudest ever MVP chant for Joel Embiid after all the stuff went down.
Well, that's fun, but he's suspended for 2 games. Is that good for the team?
I don't necessarily think it matters, to be honest with you. You know, like, it's not justifying what he did, but this, like, isn't this the reason we got Al Horford? You know, to back Joel Embiid.
Yeah, but he's not Embiid. One averages 23 a game, one averages 14 a game. He's not Embiid. Yes, he's a great substitution, and when Embiid's out of the lineup, they used to get killed last year in terms of plus-minus. Very good acquisition, but he's not Embiid.
Yeah, I just don't necessarily think this is going to, you know, really be a deterrent to the end of the season. You know, like, I don't really see Joel Embiid missing 2 games. Affecting us getting the Wolf Theater, whatever, you know, that you're saying.
Well, let me just say this. If they lose these 2 games because he's not there, and then it comes down to the end of the season and they missed home court advantage by 1 game, couldn't you look back and say, well, that was a situation that didn't need to happen? What's that say again?
I guess it could, but it's a, you know, they're using a lot of.
All right. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I appreciate the call, Roop. Thank you, my friend. Good call. He doesn't agree. There were a couple people didn't agree with me. Think we're being too hard on Rupert. Or too hard on Rupert. Too hard on Embiid. Hell, one guy called and he wanted to get rid of him. That's why I love this job. I mean, you get all kinds of opinions, all kinds of viewpoints, all kinds of arguments. I called in and he thinks he was serious too. He wanted the Sixers to get rid of him. Bad for the game, bad for the league, embarrasses the franchise. Okay, that's over the top. This can be a problem that can go away if it's treated properly. Don't get rid of the guy. He's a superstar. I mean, if it's a stiff and he's your 18th man off the bench, well, it's non-consequential if he's the 18th man on the bench if he misses 2 games. But, I mean, those guys are cut freely and often. You don't cut Embiid. He's the franchise. He is the face of the franchise and one of the stars and one of the faces of the NBA. He's got to conduct himself better than that. I mentioned before, you don't see Steph, Kevin Durant, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. When do you see those guys drop F-bombs or P-bombs a little bit? Is that hard to do? Is that too hard to do? And this isn't just this situation. He did it last year. I just think you can get your point across without doing that, and you're setting a bad example for kids, and, you know, it doesn't look good. The optics are not good for your franchise or the league if you're Adam Silver. You know, and we had Marcus Hayes on a little while ago, about an hour ago, and he said, you know, he's a little surprised that Adam Silver didn't step in and give him five games to send a message, because it wasn't the skirmish that cost him the two games. It was the aftermath. Kiki Vandeweghe said it. He's the disciplinarian for all things NBA. He basically said, yeah, well, we gave him two games because of the aftermath. What he did, his emoting, his gestures, things he said on Twitter, going back and forth, things he said in a press conference, it's the whole package. And I just think it was a bad look. And honestly, as a Sixer fan, I was embarrassed. I felt embarrassed. Yes, I felt shame, because this is my guy. He is a superstar, or very close, if he can stay healthy. And he's acting like that. Well, not cool. And he is going to get the opposition stirred up and motivated every time out against the Sixers. You don't think that will add motivation? He's going to be like, you know, persona non grata. Public enemy number one. Yeah, like the opposition needs any more motivation. Just not a good move in any sense of the matter. Again, if you're not helping your team, you're hurting your team. Everything you should do should be in the spirit of helping your team. Every move you make, that goes with GMs, coaches, every play you make, every fight you walk away from should be in the spirit of helping your team. Otherwise, you're hurting your team. 610-632-0975. We're talking Joel Embiid. We're still talking about that incident. He is suspended. Will not play tonight in Portland or in Phoenix. We're also talking Eagles-Bears. I need a little bit more hype. I'm still jacked. I know we're 2.5 hours into the show. Sometimes the adrenaline wanes a little bit because I was fired up when I got on. I'm still whacked. Whacked. I'm still jacked. But I need some help. I need some help. Thoughts on tomorrow. Has this team turned it around by one win in Buffalo? How do we view this team at this point? I'm still where I was a couple weeks ago. I'll tell you why on the other side. Joe Stazak, 97.5 The Fanatic, coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stazak here, along with Josh Rabick, behind the glass, taking your call, 610-632-0975. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter, at Joe Stazak 975. I'll read a couple tweets that we've gotten on the Joel Embiid discussion that we've been having. Again, my stance on it is, you know, I think it's a bad look for the team, for the league. I wish he would clean up his act. The skirmish doesn't even bother me that much. It was the aftermath. I talked about most of the stars in the league, you know, not dropping this, that, or the other thing on camera, F-bombs or P-bombs or S-bombs. There have been just incidents, but like with superstars, but Joel Embiid has done it since last year. And it's kind of a pattern. If there's something that happened in the game that was frustrating, made him angry, or even if he dominated somebody, but he does it a little too often. This is a graph from media. LeBron just called Luka a bad MF-er with cameras on him. Russ drops F-bombs in the interviews all the time, but I don't disagree with you. Leave it on the floor. I liked the fight. Hated the social media carryover. Absolutely lame. Good stuff by Graf. I hated the aftermath. I didn't even mind the skirmish. It happens. 20-point lead. You don't like Karl Anthony Towns. No punches were thrown, so nobody's face got busted up. It was a little sidebar to the game. They were up by 20 points. That's not what bothered me, because the suspension didn't come from that. The suspension came from the aftermath, which is totally lame. Like Graf says, totally lame. I'm really disappointed. Let's go back out to the phone line. Sam in Northern Liberties, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Sammy?
Not much, buddy. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Thank you.
So I already got my thoughts out on the Joel situation with Mikey Mez yesterday, so I'm going to stick with more Birds talk.
Sure.
But real quick, I want to give a shout-out to Carter Hart and the Flyers. A big shootout win last night. I know the kid needed it.
It was a big win.
Big win for him. He didn't even play particularly well, but just to get the win and to have, you know, to see that emotion from him at the end of the game was really nice.
Sure.
I remember because I drink.
but real quick on the Birds, I know you said you needed some help getting hype. I could not be more excited for the game tomorrow. I couldn't agree more with you on your point that Jordan Howard has been the offensive MVP so far. I think he's been a consistent killer out there for us, who's really given us some energy when we've needed it.
Yeah, great.
But with that being said, I think tomorrow our offensive MVP is going to be Carson Wentz.
I do too. I agree with you.
I think this is going to be the first of hopefully three games where Carson really re-solidifies himself as one of the best quarterbacks in the league who's capable of winning big games against good teams. I think that we this season have almost doubted him unfairly, and I really want to see this guy be what I know he is, which is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So.
Well, he's been good, but he hasn't been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Why do you think that is?
I think it's a handful of things. I think the team had a certain chemistry going into the beginning of the year that was really disrupted by the injuries in the Atlanta game.
Okay.
And I think specifically the first half of that Atlanta game really rocked the team's mentality and confidence. And I know it, and maybe I just feel that way because that was my experience, but I just think the team is at a point now where they're sort of re-identifying themselves as sort of this grittier football team. And I think the last step of that is Carson getting out there and making a couple plays that only Carson Wentz can make. And that's what I'm excited for these next couple weeks, because I know he can do it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Sam, good call, man. I appreciate it. Let's go Birds tomorrow. I know Sam's a little hyped up. I'm jacked for the game. I'm excited. I'm excited every time Sunday rolls around. I'm actually bummed half the season is over already. Where'd that go? Where'd half the season go? We're done 8 games. We're in the second half of the season. This is third quarter time already. It seems like it's gone way too fast. I needed to slow down a little bit. As much as I want Sunday to get here, I don't want the season to be over. They don't make the playoffs. It's over in 9 weeks. Think about it. That's 2 months. It's all you got left if they don't make the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I don't. To me, it's a toss-up right now. I think it might come down to that last game against Dallas. Wouldn't you love that? Would you not love that one game for the division title? Man, I'd be all over that. I don't think it would be like the last time they made the playoffs by beating Dallas 44-6. That wasn't the last time, actually. That was back in 08, 09, actually. And then other things had to happen, and they did. That was great. All the defensive touchdowns that game. Yeah, I think the Eagles win the next game when they play Dallas. I don't think it's going to be like it was last week, 2 weeks ago. That's not going to happen again. But we'll see. We'll see how they're playing. again, once they get through Seattle after New England, schedule lets up a little bit. Skins, Giants, Dolphins, Giants twice. Maybe they build their confidence by getting some quality wins over those teams, and they head into the Dallas game on a roll. A lot of this game's about confidence, about things clicking, about execution, which comes from confidence. It's going to be interesting because I like Dallas' team. I like their players. I think they've drafted well. I think they have a lot of impact guys. Problem is, well, you probably ask, well, why aren't they winning divisions every year, blah, blah, blah. They don't have, like, depth. Like, one of their major stars go out and they're not the same team. Amari Cooper goes out. Who are you looking to pass to? Michael Gallup? Really? Zeke Elliott goes down. What's his name? Michael Pollard? See about Tony Pollard? Yeah, they're not the same team with Tony Pollard, by the way. Dak goes down, obviously, not the same team. DeMarcus Lawrence goes down. They don't appear to be the same team. They have a lot of talent. Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, those two linebackers, Sean Lee. They have probably the best linebackers in the league. But the best linebacker in the league is coming to the link tomorrow. He is Khalil Mack. He's one of the keys to the game. They have to make sure they keep Khalil Mack away from Carson Wentz because he is damaging. Now, he's the guy who could hurt you. If he left unabated or you miss a blitz assignment like Andre Diller did last week maybe he wasn't told to pick up that guy. I don't know how the information didn't get across to Andre Diller, so maybe it wasn't his fault. Maybe it was, but leaving a guy wide open with a clear path to Carson Wentz, not a good idea, especially if it's Khalil Mack. I doubt they will, because I think he's a guy you need to spend extra attention on, because he's a game changer. That's what the Eagles don't have on defense. They don't have a game changer. Right now on offense, they don't really have a game changer either. DeSean Jackson could be a game changer, but he's hurt. He's coming back maybe tomorrow, probably tomorrow. I wish he would have had surgery, because then the problem's fixed, and he'd probably be back this game or the New England game. So, because you have a bye next week, another 2 weeks to heal. But to try to heal on its own with a tear down your abdomen, it's okay. It's just going to keep it getting injured. And he's not going to be the same. See, he'd be 100% if he had surgery and he healed completely. He'd be 100%. Doug Peterson admitted he's not going to be 100% when he comes back. So that's unfortunate. But he's a game changer. He can be a game changer. Zach Ertz can be a game changer. But like I said, he's got 37 catches this year. He's on pace for a 74-catch season. Last year, 116, set a record. Defense is doing a nice job covering up on Zach Ertz, Carson Wentz's receiver of choice last year. Even some criticism about him targeting favorites, playing favorites. You believe that? Hasn't been able to do that this year. He doesn't have a favorite this year. Just throws to Jeffrey a lot. Hit Deshaun for a couple big plays in the opener. But we'll see. We'll see how this team performs tomorrow. I don't think that turned the season around. One win on the road against the very average 5-1 Buffalo Bills team. I'm not ready to say this team's back. They just got whacked by Minnesota and Dallas. They lost by a total of 45 points, and they looked horrible doing it. And there are other games they played poorly this year, games that were winnable. Good teams win those games. Good teams win those games against Detroit and Atlanta. And now we see how bad Atlanta is and what a missed opportunity that was. Whether it was a drop ball or not moving the chains from your quarterback, getting in position to kick a field goal or driving the ball 22, 23 more yards to punch it in, like would have been in the Atlanta game. Missed opportunities. I'm not ready to say this is a good team now. They look like a good team. But they looked like a horrendous team the 2 weeks prior. I'm not sure where this team is. I think it's an average football team. I do. But I do think they win tomorrow. Going to be tough scoring points on this Bears team. They only give up 17 a game, which is the magic number. But I think Wentz has a big day. I think he's a star of the game tomorrow. I really do. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stazak here till 4 o'clock today. Give me a call. Coming right
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. 248 here at 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Joe Stazak here till 4 o'clock. Having a great time with all y'all today. Getting set for the Eagles and Bears tomorrow at the Link. Kickoff 1 o'clock. I'll be back on the air tomorrow night after the Eagles postgame show with Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. We're doing the postgame show. I'm with Rob Motti, 7 to 11 tomorrow night. You can catch the Green Zone as well during the game. You have Pat Egan and Tyrone Johnson kind of doing an analysis as the game is unfolding. It's really good. It's a really good listen. If y'all get a chance to listen, I would. I did it last year when we used to come in a little early for our post game show, Joe Torti and I, and we'd hop on and discuss what we've seen so far. It was a fun time breaking down Eagles with you as it's going on. That's what you'll hear if you listen to the Green Zone. Don't forget, this weekend's programming, though, is brought to you by BePromoting.com. Are you a business owner looking for cool company gear, promotional items, or employee holiday gifts? Visit BePromoting.com. That's BePromoting.com for duffel bags to drinking glasses and everything else you need to brand your brand. And by the way, I wanted to throw this in as well. This is a cool little thing we got going on. The Fanatic Pro Shop has arrived. How about that? Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices. Open for browsing right now. Just in time for the holiday gift shopping season, the Fanatic Pro Shop at 975thefanatic.com. I might even have to partake. I have exactly zero gear from this place. I think I have a mic flag at home. I took because I was doing something with a podcast. I have no idea, but there's a mic flag on my nightstand. I should probably return it, actually. I think I will. But I have no gear. No one's ever given me a t-shirt, a hat. Hey, promote this, wear this. Shorts. I don't know what else they have. Sweatshirts. No, I got zero. I got to get in better with the salespeople. Zero. So I'm going to check it out, and you should check it out too with the Christmas season upon us. By the way, it is officially Christmas season in my world. November 1st, the day after Halloween, it becomes Christmas season, and we already are getting our stuff up, taking all the Halloween stuff down. I'm a big Christmas head, so we've got a lot of time, though, until Christmas. Got almost 2 months. I know the official Christmas season starts, I guess, the day after Thanksgiving, which would be the 29th of November. That's way too late. That's a short Christmas season this year. But I've already been listening to Christmas carols on Sirius. They have them playing already. 101.1 will have them soon. So looking forward to that. But let's get back to our talk today. We're talking about the birds. We're talking about Joel Embiid. Agree with me, disagree with me. I don't care. Give me a call, 610-632-0975. Right now we're going to Jimmy in Mount Holly. My man wants to talk a little Eagles football. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jimmy?
Yeah, I've been listening to all of this Embiid talk since this started. I mean, we're overly concerned about stuff like the P word, the F bomb, and the S word. I mean, I think, Joe, we should be more concerned if we're all about the kids. Setting an example of, let's not run around and have a dozen kids out of wedlock. I mean, to me, that is a far worse example. I mean, these man-made curse words are all that. I mean, somebody invented them years ago, and we've come to accept them as profane and vulgar. Like, I'll give you the F-bomb, which was an acronym discovered in medieval times. Fornication under consent of the king. The king would give his knights permission to run around at night after a hard day's work. So, I mean, I ask you, what's worse, that or this promiscuity? And these young kids, that are being set a bad example. They don't have millions of dollars to pay in child support. To me, I think we got our priorities really screwed up here with all of this kid stuff.
Well, I'm not saying the other stuff isn't a good example. I agree with you, bro. I agree with you. Just in this case, it happens to be current. And by the way, that's good F-bomb knowledge by you from the medieval times. I like that, Jimmy. Good stuff.
Well, I like to bring, like, exciting and new, like, twists to the show.
That was really good. That was really good.
I love Snapple facts.
I mean, we live in 2019, all right? I mean, I don't think it's cool, personally, to go around calling Cat the P-word and the F-bomb and all of that. But, I mean, he didn't get racial. He wasn't anti-gay or anti-woman or inciting some sort of, like, wholesale violence. I mean, I would have done nothing to him. I mean, he didn't throw a punch, did he? I mean,
no one threw a punch. There wasn't a punch thrown.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, I mean, I don't know if you are familiar with the late, great Steve Fredericks, who was one of the iconic radio people in Philadelphia. He said, we are the worst bunch of prudes as a nation. When you compare us to nations like Holland and Sweden and stuff like that, I mean, I just wouldn't have suspended him at all. I mean, as far as the birds, I mean, it's another must game. I mean, you cannot go into the bye 4-5.
I mean, I agree. It's a must game, must win game.
And your choices for the MVP, I mean, we're right on. I mean, how do you not go Brandon Graham and how do you not go Howard? I mean, it's going to be a beautiful thing. And I'm not worried about the double doink. I mean, revenge is another overplayed thing.
I agree. So overplayed.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if Conor McGregor walked in my house and beat the crap out of me, I'd have all this revenge. I mean, unless I got a gun, would that revenge help me? Like, all right, Conor, let's go into the octagon. I got a score to settle with
you. Yeah, right? You're so right. I totally agree. The revenge factor. There's no revenge. That might last five minutes, and then you're playing football. You're just playing the game.
Yeah, like Trey Thomas would tell you if he was on a conference call. I mean, once the whistle blows, the ball is kicked, then the gladiator mentality sets in.
Yeah.
I mean, then they just start, like trying to kill each other to win a football game. I mean, all of that revenge stuff, I mean, it's total nonsense. And as far as the Phillies go, I'm excited about this. I mean, we got ourselves a really great manager. Now, I mean, I know we still got to get a general manager and get rid of McPhail, who I'm not really sure exists or is not an automaton, but I mean, it starts with a good manager. I mean, no one can gripe. Well, we got a championship manager, so I mean, everybody should really be happy about that, and let's improve on other areas.
I totally agree. Jimmy, I appreciate the call, man. Always a good call. I like that F-bomb knowledge. Josh, you like that F-bomb knowledge? I didn't know that. I always wondered where that word came from.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
How about that? That's brilliant.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Fortification under the consent of the king. How about that?
That's a good pull.
That's a good pull by Jimmy. See, you never know what you're going to hear on this show. I try to teach and reform and, you know, we're very satirical here, but that was great stuff. Jimmy always brings it, but that was great stuff. I'll get into more of the Joel Embiid stuff on the other side. It wasn't the skirmish that bothered me, and I agree, we are a repressed society, totally repressed society when it comes to whatever. You know, we're way behind other countries in that, but I still think, you know, there's no need for it. You know, you can get your point across without, you know, dropping this, dropping that, dropping the P, S, or F-bomb. And there are other things, yeah, we should be concerned about. Yeah, I get all that. But I'm just saying right now we're talking about this because it happened. It's recent. It's current. And, you know, it cost our guy a couple games in Portland tonight without Joel Embiid. You can hear that game right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Right, Josh? That game's on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yes? Yes, tonight. On 97.5. It always is, but sometimes when there's a conflict or whatever, it might, whatever. It's on tonight at, what is that, 10 o'clock, Joshy? 10 o'clock tonight, Sixers at Portland without Joel Embiid. I'm Joe Stajak. One more hour to go here on 97.5. The Fanatic. Steve Callis coming up at 3:10. David, Mike, hang in there. We have a couple open phone lines right now, so give me a call. Again, I'm Joe Stajak. I'm here till 4 o'clock today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.